Fourth and goal at the four. Give Pollard around right end, trying to score. Pollard dives. He's in there! Touchdown, Titan!
Yes!
The 30-point streak is broken!
Final hour, fist pump time on a Tolo Tuesday. Peyton is getting it. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt. We're live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks for turning it on and leaving it on DFW Sports Station. Two games last night, one completely unwatchable, but Tony Pollard scoring on Titans Radio. I had this stat saved before this week's games began. Tony Pollard leads the NFL with 7 broken tackles this season.
Wow, good for him.
6 more than Zeke, Rico, and Deuce Vaughn have combined. That was out there on Twitter last week with Tony Pollard. That was from Dan Rogers.
You said how many broken tackles? 6?
7.
7. That's more than Zeke averages carries per game.
All right. So we had that. We had the awesome game back and forth with Detroit beating the Seattle Seahawks. So let's take it around the NFL with overreactions or not with RJ Choppy.
All right. Let's go. Here we go. Number one, the Bears took the wrong quarterback. Number one.
So this would be Caleb or Jaden?
Or Jaden.
That's an overreaction. Like, I mean, until 4 weeks in, that's an overreaction. It might be, not to say he can't prove to be better or Caleb's a total bust, but 4 weeks in, while they're still trying to figure out their offensive line and everything, I think that's an overreaction.
I think it's an overreaction as well. Choppy, I know you went down this Jaden Daniels rabbit hole yesterday with multiple studies. Why don't you throw one of them out on your homework that you did on the Washington quarterback?
All right, so... Look, he's very good. I'm not saying he's not very good. But his throw chart, I think, could concern some Commander fans. He's 8 of 15, 2 TDs and a pick on passes more than 15 yards downfield. That's not terrible. It's like 55%. He's thrown 33 passes, 10 or more yards this year. Air yards. For reference, Brock Purdy... Remember, 33 he's thrown. Brock Purdy has thrown 32 passes or 10 or more air yards in the last two games. So much further downfield. In the last two games, Jaden has attempted 15 passes to the left of the hash. 10 of 15, one touchdown, one interception. So 15 of his 53 in the last two games have been to the left. It's only 28%. The league eventually figures these things out. They figure out your trends. They'll plan against it. It doesn't mean he's not any good, but what it does mean is they're doing a really good job of making things very easy on him. He's looking to the right. When it's not there, he could take off or dump off or whatever. And that's a good thing. But sooner or later, they're going to pick up on this. I'm not saying he's a one-read guy and go, but right now, they're making it very, very easy on him. And I think that's something the league can catch up on.
I'll say it's an overreaction, but the Chicago Bears are winning football games because of their defense and big plays. Special teams and turnovers. It is not Caleb Williams and that offense at all.
No. In fact, Caleb, I think, he's thrown the most deep balls in the NFL this year. He's 3 for 23.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Is that a good number?
Nope.
This is one I added
so
on.
So what's your answer to it?
It's too early to say that. I can't say that. It's too early. It's 3 years too early to make that determination. I just added this one from last night's game. Mike McDaniel is a product of Tua. Not the other way around.
Oh, that's a great question and topic.
That's an overreaction, I think.
He is 1-6 without Tua.
Right. At the most, I think what you could say is that they need each other. They're codependent. But I don't think it's like a thing where it's, oh, well, Tua's going to make just about anybody.
I'm not making a joke here. Mike McDaniel needs Tua because of his brain. Is Tua that intellectually on another level that they can't get someone or eventually get someone to process and execute McDaniel's offense? And how is it that much different from Shanahan's offense or the other West Coast trees, Shanahan trees?
There's some little nuances, but I mean, the like overall system is very similar. And so I wouldn't think that it's Tua is a very high IQ processor. That's part of his game, but it shouldn't be enough to where McDaniel just can't have any success. Now I'm trying to think of who all the starters have been when Mike McDaniel's been forced to play that to it. Skylar Thompson's an awful player.
Yeah.
Like, and so, I mean, I don't know how reasonable it is to think he's going to just carry it. But then again.
Yeah. Malik Willis, what they're doing, Kevin O'Connell. Yeah, I used to automatically give you a total pass when your backup goes in.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking at some others. Joe Flacco, you know, is a better player. What's your answer to this?
You know, Tua did score a 13 on the Wonderlic, for what it's worth.
he did?
Yeah.
Hey, man, the Wonderlic, that thing's hard. I would get annihilated by that test.
There is a stat out there about quarterbacks who do well on it versus don't and their success rate. I don't know that I buy it, but it could be, what is it, causing? It could be confirmation bias. Well, I don't know, whatever the fun term these nerds like to use.
So what's your answer?
I think we are reaching a point where, like, it's time to start, like, giving Tua more credit than people have. I think Bobby's right. They are a perfect marriage.
I think Mike McDaniel and Justin Herbert need to be put in the same category of starting to catch some heat.
Yeah.
They're both untouchable. I'm guilty of it with McDaniel. I'm very guilty of it just because I love his personality. But Mike McDaniel and Justin Herbert, they need to start getting criticized.
Yeah, the likelihood in these two, I think two is probably underrated and Mike's probably overrated.
That's but fair.
They're a perfect marriage. What the Ravens did to the Bills will or should give the Cowboys a little bit of relief.
It will give them relief. It should not. Man, I
agree. Shouldn't.
There are some instances in life where you do have to survey the landscape and then judge yourself within it. And there are some instances when not. I think in the Cowboys' case, it's making excuses. I really do. You know, to say, oh, it's a crazy league, and look at the turnover. Yes, that can apply, and that does apply. But we watch the way that you play. We watch every game twice over, in and out. So, no, I am not giving the Cowboys a pass for what happened. I have years of evidence on their run defense and their toughness not being there. Years of it, right? Just like the Mike McCarthy free pass conversation we had. I got years of it. It's not four games. It's not five games. I know what they are. I just do. I know what they are. So, no. What Baltimore did to Buffalo does not change my mind about the Cowboys getting their ass kicked.
No, because to me, it's, again, you were something we had mentioned yesterday. Baltimore ran for more yards against Dallas than anybody else has run against anybody this year. So you were the worst. And then there are all these other factors that you look at and go, like, nobody has played as bad defensively as you did that game. That still holds up regardless of all the other factors you look at, is that you were awful that day.
And you weren't bad. You're historically awful.
Yeah.
Don't leave out that word. Historically bad. All-time bad. Not just bad. All-time bad.
But they gave up 20 fewer rush yards than the last time they played Baltimore when they gave up 300. So that was improvement.
And your answer?
No, it doesn't give them relief. They got run over by New Orleans.
RJ Choppy around the NFL. Overreactions or not?
Washington is going to win the NFC East.
Not an overreaction. Now, I agree with
settle
you.
Settle down just a little bit.
In watching a lot of the Commanders stuff, I'm more impressed with, like, the poise and the way Jaden is carrying himself versus, like, the oh my god throws, the oh my god moments. So I do think they are trying to make life easy for him, as they should, and that the league is going to adjust. Now, it's the Joey Gallo rule. Can you adjust to the adjustment? Is Jaden Daniels that talented? Is he that smart? But no, it's not an overreaction. Right now, today, I'd pick the Commanders to beat the Cowboys by at least a touchdown. And I think Washington is better than Philly as well.
Yeah, not an overreaction. They're having some issues with Quinn's defense so far. Like, I mean, they've had leaks. But no, I think that they are, as of today, I would lean towards them right now, just with how everything's dysfunctional in Philly. They just threw it up there. Marcus Spears and Dominique Foxworth both just picked Washington to win the division. So I don't think it's an overreaction.
I think it is. I still think they're the third best team in the division. I don't buy them. I think it's a good start, and all we have to go on is the start. I still think they're the third best team in the
league. What do you think Dallas objectively, like, does better than Washington?
I think they have a better quarterback. I think they have a better offense. I think they have a better coach.
Well, they don't have a better offense.
I mean, that's you think they have more talented players. In execution, what do you see that says that's a better football team in any respect?
I mean, nothing through 4 weeks. But I don't believe this with the NFL. Like, I don't believe that, oh, well, they're a good team this year. It's the same team as last year, but it's not. But let's say, you know what I mean? Some teams have 12 wins 1 year, and they go down to 8 the next year. You know, I don't buy
that. Well, that means you shouldn't buy Minnesota.
I don't think Minnesota's the best team in the NFC. No, I still think the Lions are the best team. I think Minnesota deserves to be where they are. I think they're playing tremendous football. But if I was picking a team to win the North, I would still pick Detroit.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts will not be the Eagles quarterback to start 2025.
Overreaction. He's not playing bad enough to get replaced, and he just got a brand new deal. That's an overreaction.
I tend to think overreaction. The only caveat here is if they blow out this staff and a new group comes in and goes, I'm not playing with this quarterback, or I think this will work better, or we can get this or that. That would be a possibility, but no, they're not going to just turn tail and run that quick. I mean,
his QBR, if you like it, is 11th in the NFL.
That's not terrible.
It's not terrible.
Kellen Moore effect.
Well, there was some stuff yesterday showing, we had this Jalen Hurts just 2 years ago with this guy, and it was showing him just running over everybody.
He looks slow to me. He looks like
player.
Dak piano back.
Yeah, I think he'll still be the quarterback to start next year. I think Bobby's right. If they blow out the coaching staff, I mean, that might change things up. But
and you want some Kellen Moore, just click on his name trending. It's trends yeah, every day.
They can't
it's
stand him.
Amazing.
Justin Herbert is just Trevor Lawrence with thicker hair.
All right, Bob, let's fight.
So... No, Justin Herbert is a
much... Wait. Justin Herbert has thicker hair than Trevor?
Trevor's got very thin hair, right? It's a very thin... It's very Hulk Hogan-esque.
Okay.
Not like the bald, but it's just very thin and straight, and Lawrence has got kind of that, you know, bushy, thick hair.
I don't think that Herbert's played particularly well to start this season, but to me, there's no comparison in terms of who has been better while they've been in the league. To me, Herbert has... consistently been a top 10 quarterback just in a vacuum, and Lawrence has spent fleeting moments hovering around the top 10. So that's an overreaction to me because I think Herbert's just better. Herbert's got to start showing it, but I think he's better, clearly.
Herbert's better, but I'm going to say it's not a crazy overreaction because I'm sick of giving him a pass. I really am. All we do is make excuses for him. All we do is make excuses over and over and over, and it's enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, they score 17 a game this year. 17 a game. What were they at last year? 20. With the all-world, all-tools kid, and I fell for it.
He's got the tools.
But I'm done with it.
He's got the tools.
I would take him over Lawrence, but it's not a gross exaggeration.
I mean, they both have the tools. That's the thing.
Makes some like big time throws where you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they both can. They both can make big time throws. You know, that's the thing that's frustrating about that. You know,
17 a game,
not very good. Let's see. Let's go with I took this one from ESPN. The Rams should trade Matt Stafford and officially start the rebuild.
I mean, kind of having Matt Stafford is kind of like being in a rebuild. Because they're not going anywhere this year, I don't think, and they've got too many injuries to their receiving core. They've got the issues of guys who have retired, the financial situation they've been into. If you can find somebody who will give you like an awesome payday to bring Matt Stafford in, I don't know who's doing that for you, but if you can find somebody to do it, sure. I just don't think they're going to find a suitor.
Not an overreaction. I think they could find a suitor, though. He's 30, even at 36.
Find a suitor, but in terms of give you like a king's ransom, I'll give you 2 ones for Stafford. Like, I don't think you're going to
change
that.
Your statement. Yeah. Well, fine. I agree with you there. If it's a king's ransom, convenient. NFL overreactions or not here on DFW Sports Station. Let's see how some of the coaches on the hot seat are responding. Mike McCarthy versus two others that could be in trouble, and the Dallas Cowboy prank that went viral next on the Home of America's Team with Sean and RJ. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Welcome to the final edition of Below the Belt.
God, Payton, if you hear him crying and bitching in every commercial, Gavin has to text me back. Spittle has to text me back because Bobby was late again this morning, and he told Spittle he needed to talk to him to offer up his resignation after. And Spittle, I hope that's what I would do, is letting him twist in the wind, and it is eating up the rest of his bald head in here. Pay. Would you like to say anything, since Bobby loves to kick you in the nuts all the time for him being late again?
Well, look, Bobby, anytime you're taking time off, I always replace your segments anyway, so this will just be another segment that I get. So, ooh, thank you.
I just want to know who's going to actually pull your audio for you from now on, Peyton, and actually send it.
I still do it.
All right, this is Below the Belt, presented by A Number One Air.
I'm going to get the broadest call after. I told you he's doing too much. He's just doing way too much.
Yep, that's why I'm cutting Love the Star. All right, so the three coaches most on the hot seat right now. Stop shaking your head, RJ. The three coaches most on the hot seat right now.
Did your wife, was she awake? Does she know you're late?
Yeah, she. And then I immediately got, because I was like, all right, well, I need to quit or something. And then I got two notifications of her canceling subscriptions to things because now she's panicking, thinking we won't have any money.
No more YouTube TV.
I could prank her and call her after the show and be like, Are you gonna get into work on time? Like, I could blame her, and it could take up, it could entertain me the rest of the week.
It would ruin.
Like,
his
I'm
day.
Holding you partially responsible for this. You know he's got an issue. You know he's got a problem, and you don't do anything about it. You want to lose your livelihood? You ever want to see a house?
She's gonna really have to. She would set her own alarm,
huh?
She would cry instantly and probably never show her face around you.
Like, why aren't you setting alarm? Why aren't you setting the alarm? Like,
yeah, your inability to wake
with
up.
Headphones on.
It's gonna make her wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, she already thinks I've scarred Laura for life when I jump up and start screaming. Laura's been in bed next to me the last two times, and she just like curls up in a ball and starts bawling.
Why?
Because Laura just wakes up to, in the middle of the night, me like screaming expletives and like running, not middle of the night, early in the morning.
You know, I've termed a new phrase for the Tolo. Who made those shirts? Sorry for Bobby.
Oh, Jason.
Jason, new shirt, brother, for our next Firehouse tour in Denton. They're having a beltdown. It's not a meltdown. They're having a beltdown.
It's pretty good. All right, there are three coaches across the NFL who are most on the hot seat right now, I feel like. Like, most immediately on the hot seat.
If we set up a GoFundMe right now for Spittle to take money for Bobby's release, I wonder how many Tolos, how high we could get it up to.
Bobby's contract?
A buyout. If I tweeted a GoFundMe to Gavin Spittle when Bobby walks in there and offers up his resignation today.
A bob out.
A bob out. Oh, beltdown was better, but he tried to top me. How much could we get it up to? I bet we could get some crazy figures.
You would have $2,000 by the end of the show.
I think we can go like, five.
How much
figures,
for Spittle
figures.
To? How much for Spittle to accept? How much? I wonder how much. Like, 10, 15?
No, he's gonna need more than that.
You think he need more?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I think.
Spittle doesn't like to do paperwork to get rid of people.
Yeah, it's a lot of paperwork. Yeah. Can't do that.
So there are three coaches.
Have you been written up yet?
No.
Then you're fine.
Oh, yeah.
That's you got to have... We know this from experience, by the way. You need to have like at least five write-ups before anything happens.
Yes.
Not unless I offer it. The recent reactions from across the league from the three coaches on the hot seat are very different to their struggles. The three coaches I think most are on the hot seat right now. Obviously, you've got a guy like Daboll, but it feels like the immediate impact guys are... We talk a lot about Sirianni, McCarthy, Doug Peterson. Like, those are three guys who stand out. So, they each are taking completely different approaches on how to attack the heat that is surrounding them right now. Let's start with Mike McCarthy. So, McCarthy, after the Baltimore game, tried to take the path that we're all talking about right now, which is fluffing it up a little bit. Like, some guys would go, hey, it's kind of a moral victory when you think about it. And this was before Baltimore even kicked Buffalo's ass. This was just... Hey, we scored a lot at the end of the game. So Mike McCarthy is taking the tactic of make things look a little bit better than they actually are. And so this was McCarthy after the Baltimore game, cut 11, trying to make things seem a little brighter.
You know, every time you compete, there's plenty of corrections. You know, we obviously had too many, but you know, we're still in a position to win the game. So, and that's something that you know, will not get lost. You know, as part of the evaluation, because it's factual, and you know, the things that you look at, you know, just the one statistic that stands out for, you know, over top of all the other ones where the execution was not in our favor. You know, we were plus two in the big play category, and you know, so that tells you, put you, you know, you're in position to win a game. You know, we got to make one more of those big plays.
Wow. That was the summary of the game. Just got to make one more big play.
Really close.
Yeah, like we basically won. You just needed one more play, and then we win the game. And so that's the Mike McCarthy tactic.
So they technically had more big plays than the Ravens in that game? That's what he said.
Doesn't feel like it. I'm trying to think. Like, okay, let me ask you this.
He was counting pass plays or something, like 20-yard chunk passes.
Do they count?
That's what they count.
But I'm saying not counting run plays. Like, he's just looking at pass plays. Because Lamar only had to throw the ball 12 times.
Do they count the onside kick as a big play?
Right. That might be it. So that's the McCarthy tactic. Over in Jacksonville, Doug Peterson knows it's bad. He's not going to try to convince you it's actually good. But he's decided to go the route of putting up his hands and saying, not me. This is not my fault. And so this is Doug Peterson being asked after the game on Sunday. And Peyton, this
they're
is
0-4.
Yeah, this is cut 14. This is Doug Peterson.
Should have won
asked,
last week. They got a touchdown at the end. Houston scored like with like 10 seconds to go.
Should you take over play calling, Doug?
For what? I thought he called a great game. We as coaches, we can't go out there and make the plays, right? It's a two-way street. So, you know, you guys can sit here and point the finger all you want, and that's fine. Point it right at me. I can take it. Okay. I can take it. So. Whatever you want to ask me, say, whatever, write, go ahead.
That's not absolving himself or blaming others.
No, he's saying, like, fine, you guys want to throw it over somewhere? Fine, I can handle it. But he says, like, players got to make plays. That's a two-way street. That there's a lot of people who think that pissed off the Jacksonville locker room already, which is
true. I mean, he basically said, he didn't take the bullet.
I thought he was trying to take more of the bullet than firing at the players.
Well, he said when he said the players got to make plays, like that's.
I thought of it as more like he was saying it kind of almost sarcastically, like, you need somebody to hate me.
Okay.
But it's really the player.
A lot of attitude on it.
Yeah. And I mean, he was, for them to go, like, have you thought about taking over the play calling? He goes, no. Why? He was great. He was great today. Players didn't make plays. And so it's like, oh, okay. Well, Nick Sirianni's taking a completely different track. Sirianni is instead saying, give all of it to me. This is my fault. So the Philly game the other day, I thought was clearly an issue of the Eagles just not being good enough. They were getting their asses handed to them by Tampa Bay. But Nick Sirianni is saying, it's my fault. This was his quote yesterday. He said, we obviously didn't start well. Down 24-0 to start things off. Obviously no excuse for that. We didn't come out. We didn't coach well enough. And we didn't play well enough. I didn't have the guys ready to start. But our fundamentals weren't what it needed to be. And he took a lot, like his entire press conference yesterday just kept saying about, look, you got to be able to reach players so that they can play well and that you can do that. Now, you could, I guess, interpret that as that's a sideways look of looking very humble and taking it. In reality, saying these players suck, but it's my job to get them ready, but they suck. And I should have gotten these sucky players to play well. But Sirianni instead going with the perspective of, I am completely responsible for a 20-point blowout where the players looked awful and got worked over consistently. That's my fault. That's me. Didn't prepare them well enough, even though I'm not even calling plays right now.
So Nick Sirianni showing the best personality and approach.
So, and I was going to say, what is the right approach here? If you were in the same position, if you were in a Nick Sirianni, Mike McCarthy, Doug Peterson, Bobby Belt position where your job's on the line, how would you respond to it? Would you take the... Let's make it look a little shinier than it is. Would you say, I'm going to call it like it is. This is not my fault. This is players. Or do you just say, I'll take the bullet. Even if it looks publicly or even if it looks to ownership, like I'm clearly saying it's my fault and putting that on the record. I think that they will value how the leadership that I'm showing.
Sirianni, McCarthy, Peterson.
Peterson is the worst, do you think?
I mean, he basically said the players got it. I mean, he basically threw the player. I took it as him throwing the players on the bus. And they're gonna. That's much easier to quit on.
Sirianni, Peterson, McCarthy. I never feel like Mike genuinely And I never heard Jason do it either. I never heard Jason be like, I effed up. It was my fault. Never. I don't hear a ton from Mike either. There may be some instances I can get fact checked with the VP debate tonight and everything. I never feel like it's a genuine accountability and ownership versus it was the refs or look, we were right there. We had more big plays.
Right.
It sounds foolish.
Do you think it matters who you're like, what kind of boss is evaluating you? Like, does it matter how you respond if Jerry Jones is your boss? Like, does the Doug Peterson method not work if Jerry Jones, they're like, no, I don't necessarily like you just ripping on players.
I don't know. It's very difficult to, you know, talk about media quotes as reality versus what is being said behind the scenes.
Yeah, like, are the players listening to every second of the press conference?
Mike does a fantastic job of never throwing the players under the bus. That I will say. Never. He does a almost perfect, maybe perfect job of never tossing them under the bus. It makes me question how hard he is on them sometimes behind the scenes. And then when you don't take the accountability, is that by proxy blaming them? But he never even comes close to what Doug Peterson said.
Yeah, I think to that point, like you're just talking about there, about how different is public versus private accountability. For a lot of guys, Dak, CeeDee, DeMarcus Lawrence, different players, their accountability measures are way different. The way they talk about guys and two guys is way different when they're in the locker room and it's not public. They're much more direct and you got to do this, you got to do that. Mike, from all accounts that I've heard around the team, Mike approaches it the same way privately. Like, there, a lot of the public positioning is the same one that he has privately, which maybe players also appreciate that consistency.
Well, like, which is maybe why they could always commit penalties and they're undisciplined.
Yeah. Honestly, that's probably an aspect of it, is that there's not the kind of
crackdown. You know,
what is it? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Mike McCarthy sparing the rod. That's what he's doing right there.
Good quote, Grandpa. I like that one.
Below the bell for the final time.
Yeah, that's right, buddy.
On Sean and RJ and the final crosstalk as well. Let's talk about the passing of Pete Rose with the KMC masterpiece after this.
Diaz sets the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a bouncing ball slowly hit to short. Waiting on it, Lindor. He's got it. Throws to first. Put it in the box. Diaz slams the glove down. He is pounced on by Alvarez. And the New York Mets are headed to postseason play.
It is time for Crosstalk with a KMC masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan.
Man, and Diaz almost beefed it right before that, right? When he forgot to cover first base and then he had to go sprint over there and he's like, oh crap, too late.
We're beefing it in here with the smells of Bobby Belt.
These tacos are fantastic. Jaime just hadn't brought it. So what is the name of the establishment?
Patos Tacos de Trompo.
Yes, sir. Patos Tacos de Trompo. We have two locations. We have a location in Lake June Road, and we have a location over here in Oak Cliff by Southwest Westmoreland Road. Whenever y'all want to come by, check us out. We open from Monday through Sunday, and we have specials as well through the week for 25 Trompo tacos for $30 in one location, and the other location we have it for $25. As well. Ooh. So whenever you feel like come by, come check us out. We have other kind of meats. We have barbacoa, steak, trompo. We have papa de cebrada, chicharrón, picadillo with papa. So, you know, whenever you want to come check us out. And as well, we do family caterings as well. So if y'all want to get for family events, anything for parties, we do that as well.
Look at that.
So who's going to describe what they tried and ate?
So Mike has already eaten a lot of hot sauce and stuff. This is from our partners over at La Grande. It's National Taco Day, apparently, today. So Corey is loading up a whole platter over here. But Mike, what did you think?
I had the beef soft taco, right?
The Trumpo over here?
Yeah, it was great. I put on the raw onions and the cilantro with the hot salsa, but it was just spicy. It wasn't bad. Like, if you're like, oh, no, it's... Yeah, it's spicy, but it's not bad. And then I threw on a little bit of the, I'm just going to say green sauce, but I know it's not verde sauce. It looks like it has maybe a little bit of avocado in it. Yeah, it was good.
You?
Oh, I had them both, and fantastic. And I'm like Mike. I loaded up on the cilantro and the raw onions because we split a lot of meals when we go out, and Sarah hates cilantro, hates raw onions. So inevitably, when we split, I got to get it on the side. I hate it on the side, you know? I hate it on the side.
So do you order the same entree and split?
No, we get two entrees.
Okay.
And we just split them.
Oh,
so we get to try two things.
Interesting.
You know, but I never get to have the cilantro and raw onions because she doesn't like those. So I get to get them on the side, and then you got to put them on, and it's not baked in, and sure. It's just not the same.
What will you put on your taco?
Just the meat.
Of course.
Sorry.
Lime?
No.
No. Sour cream?
No.
No cheese?
Guacamole?
Oh, yeah, put cheese on there. No.
No guacamole.
That's not for me.
No onion?
No.
Cooked onion?
No.
Wow.
Chopped tomato?
No.
Lettuce?
I don't know why you keep asking. The answer is no to all of them.
All right. Yesterday, I had a hard time finding breaking news of Pete Rose's death. I could not find it, like, for at least a good 10 minutes, and I could not figure out why.
So I have a theory about that. I think it took, like, an extra 30 or 40 minutes for people to feel comfortable with the sources that had put it out there. Like, I know, I can't remember who the SportsCenter anchor was. But, yeah, the SportsCenter anchor who heard about it from Eduardo Perez.
Listen to the clip here.
Yeah, he looks stunned.
We have it. Eduardo Perez breaking it to Jay Harris and Hannah Storm.
I want to throw in a little breaking news, a little sad news that I just received as well here in the last inning. My father called me, and I confirmed it with my really, really, my brother, Pete Rose Jr. Pete Rose passed away today.
And, can you pause it right there? I know he's going to get emotional, and that's a big part of the clip, but I've seen some places go like, things get awkward on SportsCenter. They didn't get awkward. Jay Harris looked legitimately surprised by what he was being told. He, like, you could see his eyebrows go up. You could see him kind of hop up in his chair. So, like, I think
he had no idea who Pete Rose was.
No, I don't believe that. I hope that's not the case. But I think they were looking for extra sources because I heard about it like 40 minutes sooner.
You don't need extra sources. Pete Rose Jr. confirmed it.
I don't know how
you don't need an extra source.
I agree with you there. I'm saying I don't know how many people were watching SportsCenter at that minute. I think they got it from other places, but once it came out, everyone seemed to hit it at about the same time. It was just like 30 or 40 minutes after I feel like we'd kind of heard about it.
The awkward part was Hannah Storm being like, all right, so what's going on with the pregame for Monday Night Football? They're just like ready to move on past it.
I think Jay Harris's surprise was, hang on, are we allowed to talk Major League Baseball on this network? Because we've completely tried to act like it doesn't even exist.
Yeah. Michael, did you have any different Pete Rose thoughts than the ones that we've talked about for years as a this is a Mount Rushmore sports topic, Pete Rose.
I can see that.
Any different thought or no?
No. I mean, he broke the rule you can't break.
Okay, so you don't have major sympathy for him.
Well, I'm not happy he died.
No.
But sorry, like, into the Hall of Fame, no, I don't think he never made it. And what's the point in putting him in now? He's dead.
The lifetime ban's over.
It's interesting that you say that. There is some disagreement about that.
Because he's
so
dead.
Supposedly
an eternal ban.
It's not supposedly it's not a lifetime ban.
You're so technical.
It's a permanent.
I am. Isn't it great? Isn't it amazing?
It's really annoying.
People have been arguing about the semantics of this morning, and they're saying it's not a lifetime ban. It's a permanent ban from baseball in the Hall of Fame. And so they're arguing, doesn't matter. He's out forever.
My argument is he should absolutely be banned from baseball, but banning you from baseball doesn't necessarily mean you need to be banned from the Hall of Fame, because the Hall of Fame is about accomplishments on the field.
That's interesting.
But is it a punishment? Like, not everyone is associated with baseball when they're done playing. So
sure.
Then you have to do that for everyone. Like someone who's just going to go end up farming or do something else in life and not manage or not commentate or not, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, so he couldn't even step foot in a stadium.
Okay. Right.
You know what I mean? Like that was part of his punishment. I don't know. It's just,
I guess it's interesting. I never thought of it. I knew you're banned from baseball for life. I guess I don't really know the rule. I guess in my head, I just put in the rule is you're not going into the Hall of Fame. But I don't even know if there is a rule if you gamble game.
At the time, there was no rule. In 91, the Hall of Fame voted to not vote anyone in who had been banned.
Okay. So like Shoeless Joe Jackson, right? Never,
right.
Yeah. Not in the Hall of Fame because of this.
Is he not in?
I don't think so.
I think all the White Sox / Black Sox were eliminated from the game. Like no record of like being.
Where would your dad put him amongst the best hitters ever?
I don't know. I know my dad in his time, I believe, would tell you George Brett was the best. Now, he was only an American League player. My dad only played for the Rangers and the Twins. So when it comes to like Mike Schmidt, he says, if I flip them, my dad's opinion, if I flip where they played, Philadelphia, one of the easiest places to hit a home run in Mike Schmidt's time, Kansas City, literally the hardest place to hit a home run. He thinks that not totally flipped, but the power that Mike Schmidt had, and then the maybe it, people look at George Brett and say maybe the lack of power. If you put him in Philadelphia, he thinks he possibly gets 500 home runs.
And by the way, what a way to end the season. Wyatt Langford selected as the AL Player and Rookie of the Month for September. Not just the Rookie of the Month, the Player of the Month for your Texas Rangers.
It felt like the expectations were too high, and then people got really disappointed, and then he outperformed once we reset our expectations.
Yes.
He
just ran out of time.
Yep. That's 40, right.
All they needed was 40 more games, Mike.
Yep.
You guys feeling any moment of finality here as it's setting in for Bobby and his possible final day?
Yeah. So
what's happening? Day?
What's the story with how much we got to pay? People got to pay to try to fire him? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I was saying, what do you think Spittle would accept as a GoFundMe figure in order to accept Bobby's resignation that he's going to turn
There's
in?
There's no number. He'd be sad without Bobby.
That's not true.
Oh.
That's not true. 20? You think it would be 20K?
It's got to be five figures. I know that.
How much does Love of the Star make for him?
Ooh.
You wouldn't keep a company, right?
That's a good point. They'd have to find a new Wednesday night host for Cowboy Club. I think that's doable.
Well, they already got Alec for that. So it's
Yesterday, when we were still in bankruptcy, we could have used the money. But now we've cleared that.
We're out.
So we did it.
Big email.
If you can buy. I don't know about a buyout.
Do you even write for the website? Like, how many articles you write per month? That's probably easy to replace. Mm. Two times? Or is it every game day?
Yeah, two times.
I hope you stay, Bob.
What else?
Yeah. Do you know what happened at Globe Life?
Mike's like, do you know all the things I've done to get fired?
It's almost impossible.
I'm still here.
Oh, yeah. No, we've definitely experienced that on the technical side.
Mike is our best leverage. Mike is the union leader for us, and he doesn't even know it.
He really is.
All we got to do is be like, you know what Mike did? Are you stepping to me after what you freaking let Bassett get away with? He's like, he's the unintentional
hero. What time did you
show
up to work at?
Like, it'll change.
6:15.
That's nothing.
Mike. Yeah, Mike misses a segment a week.
Mike, 8 or 10 times he's been late.
Yeah, that's fine.
He makes Roy look like.
There's no problem.
Really been the last.
He's the Mike McCarthy of our show.
I think you can show up at 7:15 and everything's going to be okay.
Peyton said that McCarthy will be here longer than Bobby at this rate.
Yeah, look, people show up late to work or don't show up or don't do their job. And
what are y'all's tricks for your kid getting up? You guys are adults, so you know how to get up and wake up on time. But what about your children? Like, they hit the alarm for the second time every time.
My kids are both good at getting.
Yeah. Brandon is good about it too, because he sets like multiple alarms. I don't know if you guys are multiple.
Yeah, multiple alarms.
No. Set your one alarm and get up.
What time do you get up?
Usually 7:15.
Set your one alarm. I set two,
but I always get up at the first. Well, but I still set two.
See, here's the problem. Every time we ever filled in for you guys, I would wake up too early because I was panicked about not waking up. So I'd end up waking up at like 2:30 and I couldn't go back to sleep because I was like, I'm
He did that the other day. He woke up and he came here and slept at the station. He says he's going to sleep at the station now for the rest of the week if Spittle allows him. Back, but these were our suggestions. No more Adderall past 6 p.m. He comes up with these stupid projects that no one cares about or pays attention to. And he's like, send me all your cowboy content people. I want to look at them.
Yes, that's
like
why I slept
8 p.m. Well, your mind is going. Your mind is going.
Don't even talk.
You have no right to talk here.
It's my last few minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Come on.
YouTube. Let me make another YouTube page. Peyton said we should get his location.
Okay.
That way we know in the morning if he's awake or moving here. Oh,
then would you call him?
Yeah. Alarm in the corner, like your phone away from you so you just don't reach over and hit the snooze.
That's a good idea.
That way you have to
get
up and walk over to it.
That's a good idea.
And then you said, Alexa?
Get a Google. Or he's an Android guy, so get a Google machine. It pairs well, easier with that. And it'll create this incredibly loud
Yeah. And you got to yell at it to get it off. So by the, and it takes like two or three times to yell at it to turn it off.
Or literally set like eight alarms that are 2 minutes apart.
See, that
can't
give,
turn them all off.
Give
them, right?
That'll give them the. Yeah, you can't.
The habit that, of like one, two, well, yeah. three, four, and then he'll do it on the eighth.
Yeah, so I'll set.
This is hard to do it.
I'll
eight
set
times.
My Google and this phone at the same time, so they both go off. Mm. So I'm scrambling to wake up and turn them both off.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it takes like 8 seconds or whatever to kind of get your bearings, and by that point, you're already up.
You make sure your phone or alarm is far away, so you have to get up out of bed to do it. You always have to do that. And also, chug a big glass of water before you go to bed every night. Huge glass of water.
Yeah, it's good for your heart, It'll lubricate your heart.
You got to get up and pee.
Because they want you to stay. They have all these ideas because they want you to stay.
I want you to stay because you are a buffer for me. Spittle stays mad at you. He hasn't looked in my direction in 2 years. This is fantastic.
The KFC masterpiece is next on the fan.